service went on, the water, it was, remember I said the tank was filling? And that's what happened. Hallelujah. And you guys just are swimming in it. And so, you know, hallelujah. Let's have Brother Devin come and, you know, gives you, you were full of fire, as Ben said. What causes a fire to keep burning? Coal or wood? So that's what doctrine is. And so now Brother Devin's going to give you some of the Word of God to continue that fire to keep it burning. If you stop feeding a fire, what happens? It dies.
Well, I've been here 35 years, and I don't know if I've seen a camp like tonight, I'll tell you that. So God is doing great things amongst you guys. Amen. Listen, this is what it's about. It's just beholding. It's about beholding God, right? It's about beholding Him. Worship, prayer, word, even being around your counselors, it's about beholding the Lord and seeing Him. Listen, what happened tonight? If you're not seeing God through it, you're missing it. It's not just about singing a song, even though that's how we respond, right? It's not just about dancing, even though He fills us with joy that we want to move, right? It's about seeing Him. And if we don't see Him, we miss it, right? But my hope and my prayer is that through this week, you have seen Him. My hope and my desire is that through this week, God has been revealing things to you that you haven't seen before of His goodness, of His grace, of His character, of His love. Let me tell you, tonight I'm not here as a pastor, even though I'm thankful for being called a pastor. Tonight I'm not here as a father, even though I have four amazing kids. Tonight I'm not here as a husband, even though I have a wonderful wife. Tonight I'm just here as an 11-year-old boy, if that's okay. And I say that because it was when I was 11 years old that God revealed Himself in this campground to me in such a real way, like He is doing to so many of you tonight. And let me tell you, God put that on my heart before I even stepped in this place today. And I had no clue what God was going to do tonight. Because it's just about seeing Him. It's just us having a childlike heart and saying, we just want to see Him. I'm so thankful for the ways that He's revealed Himself to me. And my prayer this week is that as you see Him the way that you've seen Him, that you would come to a place where you would completely trust Him, right? I mean, isn't that what devotion is, right? It's complete trust. It's not just trusting God in these moments. I love these moments. I've experienced many of these moments. It's trusting God completely when you don't feel Him at all. And I know you don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. It is the truth, because God never changes. And these are moments, right, that I ask you, cherish these moments. Remember these moments. Journal about these moments, because they are life-changing. I have 10 that I actually journaled about today when I was preparing moments. I'm not going to share them because of time, of the ways that God just flat out just showed me and spoke to my life. Some were in amazing moments like this. Some were walking through a park, and He just completely changed my life. Cherish these moments. But you remember these moments when you're alone. You remember these moments when life is hard. You remember these moments when you say, God, where are You? You remember these moments, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You remember these moments. And so I just want to pray, God, I know we've been praying, but I just ask, would You please speak Your word, and may it pierce our heart. May it do what God may do what Gertie said. May it put logs on our fire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Romans chapter 12 today. And some of you might know, I'm going to assume that not everybody knows, Romans was written by a guy named Saul, whose name was transformed to Paul. He actually, some believe he had two names the whole time, but his name was Saul. And at one time, Saul hated Jesus. Many of you know the story. Jesus appeared to him, shone in a flashing of lightning. Not a flash of lightning, but in light, and fell down to his feet. You know, who are you? Jesus said, it is I who you're persecuting. Completely changed Paul's life, completely. And he devoted his whole entire life. I mean, you want to talk about devotion, right? You want to talk about this word devoted? Look at the life of Paul. Look at his life, right? And again, as he writes in Romans, everything is about the glory of the gospel, the majesty, the beauty of the gospel. That how could it be that God would love us the way that he does when we were wretched sinners, like Gertie talked about last night in Romans 1, where our desires are, they're just ungodly, but God reached into our lives, saved us, you know, when we were still sinners, demonstrated his love for us, set us free, adopted us into his family, right? Chose us, right? Into the family. All these things that he did, and Paul just sits there and looks at God, just like you guys were doing tonight. This is the cool thing. Just like you were just wanting to keep singing and singing and singing. This is what Paul was doing when he was writing. He's like, I can't believe how good God is. I can't believe how good the gospel is. It is amazing. How can God love us this much, right? And he comes to this place in Romans 11, and you can put this up, Romans 11, 33. You can just turn back just a tiny, tiny bit if you're in Romans 12. Just look at the couple verses before it, because he says this in Romans 11. He just says, oh, how great is God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. I mean, how impossible is it for us to understand his decisions and his ways? Like, we can't fathom it. It says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts, and who knows enough to give him advice? And I mean, goodness gracious, I mean, who gives a God like he needs anything from us, right? And it says, for everything comes from him. Everything exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Another translation is, from him and through him and to him are all things. I mean, this is where he's at. He's like, oh my goodness, I am amazed at who God is. And I hope and pray that every single person in this room is seeing what is going on tonight. Are people just crazy? Did they drop something in the iced tea tonight or something? And what's going on here, right? No. We behold him, and when we do, we're just like, oh my goodness. Let me tell you, and you don't put these up, Kyle, because I'm just going through these. Listen, I've seen some incredible places in my life. Seen the Grand Canyon. I've seen been in Africa, right? I've been in an amazing waterfall in South America, right? I've been in some incredible places. But there's nothing like seeing the glory of God. And that is what Paul saw when he was writing in Romans. He saw the glory of God in the gospel. In the fact that God loves us and sent his son for us. And I hope and pray you see this. Devin, why are you talking so much about seeing the glory of God? And why are you talking about making sure we really see God? Let me tell you why. Because as I come into the text, that I feel like God wants to speak and just dig deep into your heart and life tonight. Listen, it starts with seeing. Because the text I'm going to read today, maybe some of you read in devotion, it's simple. Some of you might even have it memorized. It's nothing crazy here tonight. But it says this, we're just in Romans 12. Here's the main text that I feel like the Lord wants me to speak in your hearts tonight. Romans 12, just verse 1 and 2. Here we go. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do it. We're all singing together. We're all going to read this off the screen together. Can we do that? Can we do that? Ready? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12, 1-2. Everybody give yourself a hand tonight. Come on. That was great. That's great. Listen, this is where it starts. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Do you see that view? When we see the mercy of God, remember, he just wrote the whole 11 chapters before, seeing the mercy and the glory of God. He's sitting there saying, oh my goodness, the depths and the riches and the wisdom of God. Who can understand it? And then he writes, in light of that, now here's what we do. In light of that, this is our next step. And let me just tell you, if you don't and or haven't seen the glory of God, this won't make any sense to anybody. But when we see this, it's the natural step. And it's the hardest step for us. It's night number four. It's difficult. It's challenging. Let me just tell you, I'm challenged by this myself tonight. But how many of you guys want to know God's will for your life? How many of you guys are starting to think about what does God want me to do with my life? How many of you getting a little like, oh, I'm getting older here. I'm soon going to move out. I got to go to college. Come on, how many feeling a little bit of that pressure, right? Let me just give you a promise here tonight. Do you see what it says at the end? Then you go back to that. Hold on. It says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then you'll be able to know God's will. Don't you want to know God's will for your life? This is what we do. This is what we do, right? Listen, here we go. I'm going to go through these super quick, okay? Because I believe God wants to do more in your hearts tonight. Listen, number one, we offer. We offer. Everybody say offer. Offer. Let me just tell you. We offer. Listen, sacrifice, where it says a living sacrifice. Sacrifice is surrender. It's surrender. Right? Let me just tell you, when you get in trouble by your parents and they take your cell phone from you without you wanting them to take it from you, is that surrender? Is that you sacrificing your cell phone? Absolutely not, right? Come on, that's called discipline. And we hate it, don't we? Right? It's good for you, but we hate it. Listen, sacrifice is offering. Surrender is sacrifice. When we say, God, I want to give it to you. When someone comes to us and says, hey, would you like to have this? They offer it, right? It's a sacrifice, right? It goes all the way back to Genesis when God called Abraham, right? Abraham who couldn't have any kids at all, right? And God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham's like, how am I doing that? I don't even have any kids, right? And just think about Abraham's 40 or 50 when God says that to him, and then 51, 52, 53, 54 years go by, 55, 56, 57 more years go by, 58, 59. I could be here all night because you know where we're going, right? It's not until he's 100 years old, 100 years old, till he has Isaac. Now, let me just tell you, that's a long time to wait, isn't it? Listen, we have a couple in our church. We pray almost every Sunday night for them to be reunited from estranged kids that don't want to talk to them anymore. They're an older couple, and they pray. We've been praying for 7 years. It's been a long 7 years. I can't imagine how long it was for Abraham and Sarah. But guess what? Can you imagine they have Isaac? Can you imagine they're having the party? Can you imagine they're jumping up and down just like you guys are? Can you imagine they're just like, we're worshiping God here tonight? And then it's like record player stop sound, you know what I'm talking about, right? When God says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. I want you to offer him up to me is the exact words. Take your son Isaac, your only son, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him freely to me. Offer him. That's a hard call, isn't it? Now listen, some of you guys know, right? You know the story. He obeys. He goes up. He's ready to offer and sacrifice his son. God steps in, right? Says, no, I was testing you. Don't offer your son. Here's a ram. All those things, right? But let me just tell you, he was willing to offer. And God is asking us to offer it up. What is so important in your life right now that you say, man, this is really difficult for me to trust God to offer? And let me just challenge you to say, do it. Offer it up and trust God. Be willing, like it says, to completely give. Let me just say this to you. There is nothing that you value that God cannot outdo and give to you more. Do you know that? There's nothing. Nothing at all. I mean, even our own very lives, one day when we die, We're going to experience being in his presence forever in heaven. It's never going to even compare to this life. I challenge you to offer it up. Listen, I understand we can talk about finances. We can talk about materials. We can talk about your cell phones that you probably don't want to offer up to God, right? But listen, I understand you guys are probably at the area time right now where it's like relationships and man, that girl's cute or man, that guy's hot or whatever it might be. Or, oh, I just love this person so much. Let me just tell you, choose wisely. Choose wisely. And let me just tell you, never be afraid to offer up and say, God, if this is not what you want, I'm okay. Because I'll tell you, it can be a wonderful, life-giving marriage forever. Don't be afraid of that. It's awesome. But if you rush in and take your own matters into your own hands, I'm telling you, it can suck the life out of you. Let me tell you, I'm so thankful. In May, I celebrated 20 years with my wife. So, amen, amen. 20 amazing years. Amazing years. We have our ups and downs, but amazing years. And you know what? I was thinking today, there was a time we were on a mission trip in South American Guyana, like I mentioned, and we were in that infatuation stage, like that stage where we couldn't go 5 minutes without thinking of each other, right? We're on a mission trip trying to do God's will, and we're just like crazy about each other, right? And even once or twice snuck out at nighttime, and we're doing a little smoochy, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Now, we were in college. We were 22 years old, whatever. You know, we were allowed to do that. It wasn't breaking the law. But here's the thing. The one night, God told both of us at the same time, are you willing to give this relationship up? Give it to me. And I shared that with her, and she shared it with me, and God spoke the same thing to us. And we're like, oh my goodness. And we said, we're done with this relationship for the rest of the trip. And we said, we need to surrender this completely to God. And I went home that night. I remember sitting in the kitchen of this little missionary center. Everybody else was asleep. We were sleeping in beds that had mosquito nets because the mosquitoes were so bad. I remember crawling in the mosquito net that night thinking, oh my goodness, God has taken this relationship from me. And I remember praying with all my heart, God, if you don't want me to have it, I'm okay. I'm offering it up to you. Listen, there's some things in your life that God might be saying to you tonight. Offer it up to me. Trust me. And there's some things that are totally fine, maybe. Maybe there's some things that God doesn't want you to do, that there's sin in your life. And he's like, listen, you need to deal with this and you need to offer it up to me completely because it's not what I have for your life. And we left that night and we didn't really do much the rest of the trip. We didn't talk. And I was just like, oh, I don't know if I have a girlfriend anymore. And I prayed. And all of a sudden, God put such a peace in my heart the last day of the trip. No, you were to be with Jess. And I'm like, okay. And I went to her at the end of the trip. I'm like, how are you feeling? She's like, man, God just put a peace in my heart that we're to be together. I'm like, man, I feel the exact same way. Holy smokes. Praise the Lord. Let's get the dance party going on. You know what I'm talking about? Right? But it was confirmation. And it was one of those things. Let me just tell you, God is asking you to offer it up. Remember, sacrifice is surrender. God's never going to rip it out of your hand. He wants you to surrender it to him. Second thing, real quick. Listen, God doesn't want you to surrender and offer some. He wants it all. Not some. He wants it all, right? Listen, God deserves all of your life. It says, offer your bodies. That's everything, right? God isn't looking for you to offer your Sunday mornings. God isn't looking for you to offer your Wednesday nights. God isn't looking for you to offer 1 week during the summer. God wants everything possible in your life. And come on, this is where we get to the point. If we're real tonight, this sacrifice is pretty big, isn't it? Come on, the living sacrifice. Don't pretend that it's not, because it sure is for me. It's huge sacrifice. God, you want everything? I should offer my bodies as a living sacrifice to you, God? Like, this is high. I mean, remember the rich young ruler? There was this guy who had all these riches. He came to Jesus. Jesus, I keep all the commandments. What must I do to enter eternal life? He goes, go sell everything you have and follow me. And sadly, it says the man went away sad because he had much riches. Listen, let's be real. You guys are not kids in Africa or China or South America. You guys have a lot of stuff. And it's harder for you to offer it all down to the Lord. Sometimes you go to other countries, you're like, why are people so free to just give everything to God? Oh, it's because they have hardly anything. That's why. And they find this joy in God, and they're like, wherever you want me to go, God, whatever you want me to do, just take my life. And it's so much harder for us, is it not? Because God has given us so much. Here is what I need to tell you. We need to stop looking at what we're giving, and we need to start looking at who we're giving it to. Think about it. Stop looking at, oh, I can't give it all up. Listen, I'll give this up. I'll give that up, but oh, I can't give that up. Stop looking at what God wants you to give up and start looking at the one who is asking for it. Just like you guys were doing tonight, right? You guys were just in a place where you're just like, Jesus, we love you, right? Jesus, Holy Spirit, right? Come and fill my life. Consume every part of me, right? He's asking you. He wants you not just to sing about it, but to think about it. Every part. Listen, I love the story in Mark 4. Oh, my goodness. I love the story in Mark 14. It is when this woman comes and Jesus goes and visits Simon the leper, and as he's sitting there and fellowshipping with everyone, this woman comes and takes this expensive jar of oil and ointment and perfume and breaks it and pours it over Jesus' head. How many have ever heard of that story before? Anybody raise a hand? It's called an alabaster jar. It says that it was worth 300 denarii, which means 300 days' wages, almost a whole year. Almost, I mean, how much did the average person make? 40, 50,000? That's how much it was worth. And you know what she did? She didn't dump a little out. She broke it. And when it breaks, it's all of it. And people were like, Jesus, don't you realize what she's doing? No, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole entire world, what this woman has done will be told in her memory. Jesus never said that ever again. But because she gave it all, it was all, God said, I'm responding. This is always going to be shared 2,000 years later in little Honeybrook, Pennsylvania. The story is being told again. God wants you to give old. Let me just tell you, is there somebody in here who's willing to give everything? God is willing to do something so incredible in your life, you can never even imagine what God wants to do through some of your lives. I love what Dwight Moody said, old preacher. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man or woman fully set apart to him. And by God's help, I strive to be that man. Give your all. Not some, but all. Give your all. Listen, let me just challenge you. Remember, when you go home, worship is not going to church and singing. Worship is not just being in church and folding your hands when it's time to fold your hands. Listen, worship God is when you go to school. Worshiping God is when you go to work. Worshiping God is when you hang out with your friends. Worshiping God is when you're searching on the internet. Worshiping God is playing whatever you want on YouTube and saying, is this godly or not? We worship God in everything because he wants all of it. A couple more things real quick. Listen, we need to remember that the Lord wants us to offer and freely give. The Lord wants us to remember that we should give it all, not some. Listen, let me tell you, Jesus wants to remind us that sacrifice and death brings life, right? Death brings life. We're called to be a living sacrifice. And I don't know how you feel, but that, again, that word means death, right? Sacrifice, when you think of something sacrificed, you think it's dead. So then how can it be, God, that you want us to be a living sacrifice? Let me just tell you, this verse has been my life verse since I've been about 22 years old. I've memorized it. I've read it probably 500 times. I used to have it as a screensaver on my laptop. I preached on it multiple times, and I never saw until today that living sacrifice, you know, is an oxymoron. Do you guys know what an oxymoron is? Right? When two words are opposite, they contradict each other, you put them together and somehow they make sense, right? Like jumbo shrimp, right? Or like somebody who was seriously funny, man. That guy was seriously funny, right? Or man, she's pretty ugly. We were not saying that today. But you know, these oxymorons, right? right? Just act naturally. Well, if I'm acting, how can I be natural, right? I mean, they're oxymoron. How can there be a living sacrifice? Let me just tell you what that means. I believe in my heart tonight. I believe so much that Jesus Christ wants us to sacrifice and die to the desires of this world so that we can be raised to life again fully. See, what happens is when we die to the world, we actually come to life in the Spirit. See, so many times in the Christian church today, we want to be alive to the world and alive to the Spirit of God. It can't happen. It says in Galatians 5, the Spirit and the flesh, they wage war against each other. And that's why it says later, it says, you cannot be conformed to this world, but instead you must be transformed. Do you know what transformation is? It's new life, isn't it? Isn't it transformation when there can be a dead seed and it gets planted in the ground and it takes time and then all of a sudden a tree comes to life? Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible when you see a caterpillar that seems dead in a cocoon and then all of a sudden it comes to life into a butterfly? Isn't it incredible when you see an embryo in the womb in a picture and it's like, that's nothing. But no, it's life. It's birth. It's something new. Listen, Jesus is calling us to say, let go of the world and be transformed. You let things die in your life that are not godly. And I'm telling you, Jesus is going to bring new life through your life like you've never seen before. It's a living sacrifice. That's what we are. We continue to live and we grow, but it's a sacrifice. Let me just give you the hard news right now. Everything in this world that the Bible teaches against, everything in this world, it's all perishing. It's all perishing. And everything that God's word says is all coming back to life and resurrecting, and he's going to be raised to life again in the end days. So when we say, oh, I need to hold on to everything that God has for me, right? Guess what? You're going to lose it all. That's what Jesus said. You want to gain the world? You're going to lose your soul. But those who give their lives, they gain it all back. It's the living sacrifice. We make a sacrifice to the Lord, and yet he fills us back up with life every day, every moment. It's just something incredible. We're like, how can that be? But here's the thing. Let's not deny that we have desires in our lives that pull us to say, just conform to the world. Just conform to people around you. Then you'll just feel safe. You'll feel good. Listen, one of the reasons why we're worshiping so well tonight is because we feel safe here. That's why it is hard when we're the only Christian standing up and everybody's making fun of us and you still believe that junk? What are you, crazy? It is difficult. But I'm telling you, when the word says don't be conformed, but it says you will be transformed. New life is coming into your spirit and soul of what God has for you. So I say again, listen, brothers and sisters, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies, your whole being, everything you have. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your worship. This is your true worship. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you're going to know exactly what God has for your life. His good, perfect, and pleasing will. You know, that thing about sacrifice, again, it just gets me. Because that word sacrifice that's freely given, you know, it comes from the Old Testament. It comes from before Jesus made the sacrifice for us. That God called people to sacrifice rams and bulls, right? And to bring them into the altar, and that they represented that hey, they're coming in my place, that I've sinned, and I'm going to come and sacrifice it because I deserve my life to die, but I'm going to bring this animal instead. I'm going to bring it to the altar. Do you know what they did on the altar to the sacrifice? After they slit his throat and killed it, do you know what they did? They put it on the altar, and it burned. And it burned. Do you know it says in Leviticus 6 when it's giving regulations to the Old Testament priests, make sure that the fire on the altar never goes out. Make sure the fire on the altar never goes out. Hey, make sure the fire on the altar never goes out. It says three times in the row in Leviticus chapter 6. Let me tell you something. If we are a sacrifice for God, a living sacrifice for God, if we come and say, God, here we are. Let me tell you, in the same way when we put ourselves in the altar of God, let me tell you, there is a fire, right, that burns in our hearts and our lives. Just like my brother said, God is a consuming fire. He wants to burn away everything within us that is against the will of God. It is a fire. God is a fire. Again, let me tell you, when God sent his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, how did it appear? It appeared as tongues of fire. Because that's what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon a sacrifice. Someone who offers his life and says, here I am completely. God's fire fills them from the inside out. Listen, there's a flame that God brings. Fire is required. It's not something that's optional. It's just required that God's saying, I am going to pour out my spirit upon my children. And you know, I'm just teaching you what has already even happened this week, right? You're like, hey, what is going on? God's already pouring out his fire on your lives. Amen? Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? Amen? Right? And God wants to do more. Let me just challenge you, young people. Never be lacking in zeal, but always keep that spiritual fire burning. That's Romans 12, 11. And I believe tonight, I believe God is calling some of you, that the fire that God is burning in your hearts and souls because you've offered your lives to him. And I'm just here to just challenge you. I'm just here to broaden your vision. I'm just here to, in the same way, to take you to that mountaintop where Paul's looking at God saying, yeah, as we see God, it's incredible. Now, let me just challenge you. Just give it all to him, okay? Don't hold back. Don't put, well, you can't have that part of me, God, or know this. No, just give it all to him. Just completely lay down your lives because I am telling you, God is not doing this just so one day we can look back and say, oh, man, I love my camp years. God's doing that because he's calling you to be missionaries. God's doing this because he's calling some of you to be pastors, some of you to be leaders in your community. God's calling this because you're a world changer. God's calling some of you to be history makers in this land, in this world. That is why he's setting you apart. Whoever put these countries together and put them up here, I think it was a cabin decoration. Oh my goodness, I was just reading them when I came in here tonight, and I just felt the presence of the Lord upon my soul tonight. Why? Because God is broken for these countries too. And he's asking some of you, who will go for me? Who will go to whatever land I call? Who will go to Iraq? Who will go to Greece? Who will go to Russia? And tell them, who? Maybe it's the ones that God's pouring his fire out upon. Maybe it's some of you. Will you go? Let me tell you, when we say that, right? Oh, God, oh, that's a hard consequence. Oh, that's hard to sacrifice. You're looking at your life. You need to look at him. You need to trust him. You need to know that wherever God calls you to be is the safest place you can possibly be. There is no safer place in the world than in the perfect will of God. I don't care if that's in Honeybrook. I don't care if that's in Pennsylvania. I don't care if it's in Sudan. I don't care if it's in Iraq. If you're in the will of God, there is no safer place for you to be. Now listen, I know this was a hard and a high calling today, but I believe God is challenging some of you tonight and saying, who's going to go for me? I believe God's calling and challenging some of you tonight. Who's willing to give it all? I believe God's challenging some of you tonight. Who wants to be laid on the altar of God so that my fire can burn afresh in them like never before? Because I think he's calling some of you tonight. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the incredible work and fire that you've already been stirring into our hearts. I thank you so much. God, that you know every single child and student here tonight. I thank you see the hairs on their head. And then God, I thank you that you're revealing your goodness and your grace to them. So God, I just pray right now. I pray. Father, would you please start speaking right now through your Holy Spirit about the things that you're calling them to offer up to you. Lord, I pray right now that you would start speaking to some of the men and some of the women in this place tonight, that you start revealing things to them that you're saying, I need you to offer that to me. And I pray, Jesus, that there won't be anything, nothing in our hearts, nothing in our lives tonight, Jesus. Nothing that we long for, Jesus, that we long for more than we long for you, God. I pray that we lay it all down tonight. And Jesus, I pray there would be testimonies, God, of ways that you just totally just blessed back and just showed your goodness to every single one of these students as they trust in you completely. Jesus, I just feel in my heart tonight there's some people that you're calling them to lay down a relationship that is not healthy. Father, I just pray that you'd speak to that person. Lord, and God, if there's others that you are confirming a relationship in their lives, then speak a confirmation. But Lord, may we come and we sacrifice it. Lord, I believe with my heart tonight that you're asking someone to lay down pornography tonight, that you're speaking that to someone specifically, that they're saying, you need to offer this to me. Lord, I pray that, I believe that you're speaking to someone to lay down materialism tonight, that even though we have so much given to us, that we say, Jesus, you are worthy of it all. And so we come and we just surrender to you. We just come and we surrender to you. Lord Jesus, would you just pour out your fire, the fire of your Spirit, onto our hearts tonight? Would you just pour out the fire of your Spirit in your hearts tonight? And may it burn, and may it burn only for you. In Jesus' name. Listen, children, if I know we had a time in the altar, I'm just going to hand this back to Gertie. If you guys feel to respond, you guys can come up here and respond. You don't need me to tell you that, okay? But we're just going to wait on the Lord here for a little bit, and I just want to encourage you to respond in the way that the Lord calls you to respond. Maybe the Lord just speaking just clear to you guys, and maybe you just want to come up here and even in a way of just saying, Lord, this is what you're asking me to surrender to you tonight. Thank you, Lord.